Let me ask you something before we do anything else today. When was the last time you flew slow flight the way your examiner actually wants to see it? Not the way you learned it 3 years ago, the way the standards read right now, because here's the thing. The rules changed, and a lot of pilots, a lot of good pilots, never got the memo. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, where we spend our time trying to make you a sharper, safer aviator one maneuver at a time. Today we're going to talk about slow flight, the real thing, the way it lives in the airman certification standards today, and why the version a lot of us grew up on will actually cost you on a check ride now. Grab your coffee. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked hard for. aviationsoul.com. Okay, slow flight. Here's some history. Because the history is the whole reason this is confusing. For decades, the way we taught slow flight was simple to describe. You slowed the airplane down until the stall warning horn was blaring, and then you flew around like that. Turns, climbs, descents, all with that horn screaming in your ear. The idea was to get you comfortable operating right at the ragged edge, right where the wing is about to quit flying. And the old practical test standards, the PTS, actually asked for that. It wanted you flying at an airspeed where any further increase in angle of attack or any increase in load factor would result in an immediate stall. Immediate. Meaning if you so much as sneezed, the wing let go. Now think about what that taught a whole generation of pilots. It taught us that slow flight means the horn is on. It taught us that the correct sight picture is the one with the buzzer going. Then in 2017, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, moved us from the old PTS over to the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS. And they made a change to slow flight that caused a genuine uproar in the training world at the time. Instructors argued about it online for months. Here's what changed. Under the ACS, slow flight is now flown at an airspeed above the stall. Specifically, the standard has you fly at a speed where the stall warning, the horn or the light, is not activated. You fly just above that. Roughly 5 to 10 knots above the speed where the stall warning kicks in. Read that again if you need to. The horn should be quiet. So the maneuver flipped. The old way, the horn was your target. The new way, the horn is your warning that you've gone too slow and you need to add a little speed back. Now, why did they do that? Because the FAA looked at the accident data, and loss of control in flight was, and still is, the number one killer in general aviation. And they realized we were teaching people to spend a bunch of time flying with the stall warning ignored. We were training pilots to tune out the one sound that's specifically designed to save their lives. Think about that. We spent hours conditioning students to hear that horn and do nothing. That's exactly backwards from what you want when the chips are down close to the ground. So the new slow flight teaches you to respect the horn, to treat it as a hard floor. If it goes off, you've descended too far into the regime and you recover a touch of airspeed. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The point of slow flight was never to prove you can dance on the edge of a stall. The point is to teach you how the airplane feels and behaves when it's slow, dirty, and working hard, which is to say exactly how it feels on final approach. Every landing you ever make is a slow flight maneuver. That's the connection nobody drew for me. And once it clicked, the whole thing made sense. Let's talk about what's actually happening to the airplane down there. Because if you understand the aerodynamics, the maneuver stops being a memory game and starts being intuitive. When you're flying slow, you're operating on what we call the backside of the power curve. Let me explain that plainly, because it's one of those phrases people throw around without unpacking. Normally in cruise, if you want to go faster, you add power, and if you want to go slower, you reduce power. Speed and power move together the way your brain expects. That's the front side of the curve. But down in the slow flight regime, it flips. Down there, the airplane is flying at such a high angle of attack that the drag is enormous. Induced drag, the drag that comes from making lift at high angle of attack, has gone through the roof. So now, if you pitch up to try to hold altitude, you slow down, drag increases even more, and you need more power just to keep from sinking. Power controls your altitude. Pitch controls your airspeed. It's inverted from cruise. This is the single biggest thing students fight. Their instinct says, pull back to stop the descent. But down here, pulling back just makes you slower and draggier and sinkier. The fix for a sink is a handful of throttle, not a handful of yoke. Sound familiar? It should. That's the exact trap that gets people on a low dragged-in approach. They're behind the airplane, sinking toward the numbers, and they haul back instead of adding power, and the airplane mushes right into the ground short of the runway, or worse, snaps into a stall spin, turning base to final. Slow flight, done right, is the vaccine for that. All right, let's fly the maneuver. Step by step, let's walk through this together. The way I'd brief it with you sitting in the right seat. First, clear the area. Two, clearing turns, 90 degrees each way, eyes outside, looking for traffic, and pick an altitude that gives you room. The standard wants this done high enough that you can recover by a safe altitude, and I'd want at least 1,500 feet above the ground for practice, more if you're just getting comfortable. The examiner is looking for you to clear that area every single time. Don't skip it because you're focused on the maneuver. That's an easy way to plant a seed of doubt in the first 10 seconds. Second, the setup. Reduce the power, carb heat if your airplane needs it and the conditions call for it. And as the airplane slows, add flaps and stages if the maneuver calls for the landing configuration, which it often does. Now here's the part, people rush. As you slow down, you have to feed in back pressure to hold altitude, and you have to add right rudder as the power comes back up, and you have to trim. Trim, trim, trim. Get that pressure off the yoke. A slow flight maneuver flown out of trim is a slow flight maneuver you're going to fight the whole time, and the examiner will see you sawing at the controls. Third, establish the airspeed. You're aiming for that speed just above the stall warning, so you actually sneak down until you hear the first chirp of the horn, and then you add just a hair of power and pitch to back off until it goes quiet and stays quiet. That's your number in a lot of trainers, a Cessna 172, a Piper Cherokee. That's going to land you somewhere in the neighborhood of the mid-40s of knots, but don't fly a number off the radio. Fly your airplane in your configuration at your weight. Find the speed where the horn stops, live just above it. Fourth, hold it. And this is where the maneuver is won or lost. You've got to maintain altitude, maintain heading, and hold that airspeed all at once on the backside of the curve where everything is twitchy and the controls feel like mush. The ailerons are sloppy. The rudder is doing a lot of the work. Little corrections. Pitch for the airspeed, power for the altitude, rudder to keep it coordinated. And when the examiner asks you to turn or climb or descend or add and remove flaps, you do it while holding all of that together. What are the actual tolerances? For the private pilot ACS, you're holding altitude plus or minus 100 feet, heading plus or minus 10 degrees, airspeed plus 10 knots, and minus zero. Look at that airspeed tolerance carefully. Plus 10 and minus zero. That means you can be a little fast, but you cannot be one knot slow. Because slow is toward the stall, and the standard will not reward you for creeping down into the horn. The whole design of that tolerance is telling you which way the danger lives. Now let me give you the common mistakes, because that's really what today is about. These are the ones I see over and over. Mistake number one, chasing altitude with the yoke. We already covered why. You sink, you pull, you sink more. Break that habit. On the backside of the curve, the throttle is your altitude control. When you feel the airplane start to settle, your hand should move to the throttle before it moves the yoke. Mistake number two, forgetting the rudder. Slow flight is high power, low airspeed, high angle of attack. That is maximum left-turning tendency. If your feet are asleep, that airplane is skidding, the ball is out to the side, and you're setting up the exact uncoordinated condition that turns a stall into a spin. Step on the ball, keep it centered, the examiner is looking for coordination. And honestly, coordination down here is a safety of life issue, not a style point. Mistake number three, and this is the big one for the folks who trained years ago, flying it the old way, diving down until the horn is blaring and then flying around with it screaming. If you do that on a check ride today, you're not meeting the standard. The standard wants that horn quiet. I have seen experienced pilots, people adding a rating, get dinged on this because they learned it in 1998 and never updated. If you're one of them, no shame, but retrain the sight picture. Horn quiet, just above it. Mistake number four, not trimming. I said it before, I'll say it again. An out-of-trim airplane in slow flight will exhaust you, and it will make every other error worse. Trim off the pressure and suddenly you have the mental bandwidth to hold heading and listen to the examiner. Mistake number five, getting task saturated when they add a task. The examiner says, okay, give me a left turn to a heading of 270 and start a descent. And the student's brain locks up because now it's four things at once. Here's the secret. Slow down your hands, not the airplane. Make one smooth input at a time. Roll into a shallow bank, no more than about 15 or 20 degrees. Keep the ball centered. Adjust power for the descent, and just fly it. The airplane is not going to fall out of the sky if you take a breath and do things deliberately. Let me give you a scenario, because this is where it all comes home. You're on a cross country, unfamiliar airport. There's a slower airplane ahead of you in the pattern, and Tower asks you to extend your downwind and follow him. Now you're slow, you're configured. You're low, and you're maneuvering while dividing your attention between flying the airplane and looking for your traffic. Your eyes are outside, on him, not on the panel. That right there is slow flight. That is the whole maneuver happening in real life at 800 feet, with a distraction pulling your attention off the instruments. If you've drilled slow flight until the airplane feels natural down there, until your hand automatically finds the throttle when you sink, and your feet automatically keep the ball centered, then this is a non-event. You extend, you follow, you land. But if slow flight was just a check ride box you crammed for and forgot, this is where a good pilot ends up stalling, spinning, and becoming a statistic in the pattern. That is not me being dramatic. That is the accident data. Loss of control in the pattern is one of the ways this goes wrong, and slow flight proficiency is the direct antidote. So here's your practical takeaway for your next flight. Whether you're a student or you've had your certificate for 20 years, go up to a safe altitude and refly slow flight the current way. Find the speed where your stall warning first chirps in the landing configuration. Note it, then fly just above it, horn quiet, and do turns, climbs, and descents, holding altitude with power and airspeed with pitch, feet alive on the rudder. Do it until it's boring, until it's easy, because the day you need it, you will not have time to think about it. It has to already be in your hands and your feet. And if it's been a while, take an instructor with you the first time. There's no prize for figuring it out alone. Everything we walk through today lives in the Airman Certification Standards and the FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook, and both of those are free to download and worth a read cover to cover. Give them your time. They'll make you better. You can find more of these segments over at RadioHangar.com whenever you want them. Fly slow flight until it's dull, folks. That's the whole secret. The maneuver that feels boring at altitude is the one that saves you down low. I'll see you back in the pattern.